Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
It's been reported today that the United Nations has banned its staff in an email from using the words war or invasion regarding Ukraine. Instead, UN staff have been instructed to use terms like conflict or military offensive to describe Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has resulted in the deaths of hundreds of civilians and forced 2 million to flee the country, as we say. A UN spokesman said this afternoon that he could not exclude that some manager of some part of the UN could have sent such an email, but added it wasn't the case that staff have been instructed not to use words like war and invasion. For more on this developing story, I'm joined by Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times, who broke this story. Naomi, you're very welcome to the programme. It's got worldwide attention, this story, I think, already from various agencies around the world, because words matter in a situation like this. Tell me exactly what happened.
So according to my information, the Global Communications Department of the United Nations sent out an email which was about crisis communications regarding Ukraine. And it contained advice about being careful about watching out for disinformation. It talked about the need to, you know, be professional on social media, but it also had specific instructions about language. So one of the instructions was, you know, innocently about the spelling of the surname Zelensky and Kiev, but one was also that you shouldn't use the words invasion or war. And as you pointed out, instead, the suggestion was conflict or military offensive. This obviously is, it's a particular way of referring to events in mm-hmm. Ukraine. There was also an instruction to staff not to put the Ukrainian flag in social media profiles, whether private or official.
Not to put the Ukrainian flag.
Excuse me?
Not to put the Ukrainian flag on
exactly,
posts.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's a practice we've seen now. A proliferation of it, people using the Ukrainian flag or symbols to show solidarity or support, I suppose. But UN staff instructed not to do so. Why, one would ask, was such an instruction given?
Well, I think it's important to note the context of this. Russia is a pretty powerful country within the UN, and the United Nations works globally, and sometimes it can be difficult to balance the political sensitivities in such a way that would allow their staff to continue their work. So this is an ongoing concern for that organisation. But specifically, you know, advising against the use of the words war and invasion, that chimes, I think, uncomfortably closely to what the Kremlin itself, the policy of the Kremlin itself, mm-hmm. because the Kremlin has actually instructed, the Russian media regulator has instructed media organizations in Russia not to use war or invasion. Similarly, their preferred terminology is special military operation. And there's also been a crackdown on anti-war protesters, independent broadcasters and general media. So it's very much the Russian policy not to refer to this war as an invasion.
And I suppose when you explain it like that, Naomi, it's understandable why there has been, to understand why there has been such a response to your story and this email today, because even from the Ukraine foreign minister, there was a response, wasn't there?
Oh, I actually haven't seen that yet. But to be honest, my notifications are going quite crazy. So
happened. So and I know you're at the epicenter of it for having reported. I can tell you what the Ukraine foreign minister said in relation to your story today. He said it's hard to believe the UN could essentially impose the same kind of censorship as Kremlin imposes inside Russia now by banning the use of words war and invasion among UN staff. I urge the UN to swiftly refute such reports if they are false. UN reputation at stake, he says.
Right. So what the UN has told me, this UN spokesman has said that, you know, they don't deny that such an email may have been sent. So they accept that the email itself is valid. What they say is that it's not official policy. They deny it's official policy and they point to a tweet that was sent by a senior UN official sort of in the middle of the night tonight, which used the word invasion. But I think, you know, what may have gone on here is either there's a discrepancy between what ordinary staff are told and the leeway that is given to senior staff, mm-hmm. or there could also be a discrepancy between different geographical areas of the UN. Nevertheless, you know, they don't deny that this email actually was sent out. Mm-hmm. I have a copy of it, so
okay.
It's true.
So you have the evidence, as they say. Yeah. But I go back to the logic in behind this email for just a brief moment. If the reputational risk. Can you explain to me what they were trying to explain there?
I mean, I think what this email says is that they're international civil servants and they need to be neutral. They need to be impartial. So it's trying to find a balance when there's a highly contentious mm-hmm. situation, trying to appear as a neutral arbiter. The problem is, I think that in this case, if that goes so far as to not be allowed to describe a situation, which is just merely a factual situation, that goes too far in favor of the invader.
I'd love to know what our listeners think of that story. 51551, Naomi O'Leary of the Irish Times. Thank you.